from earth to glory. I only ask to be like him. Let's sing that one more time if you mean it. Oh, to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth I long, oh, to be like him. To glory, I only ask to be like him.
Amen. You know, folks, the longer we go in this walk, this message, the more I'm convinced people really are lying when they sing that song. Not intentionally, but they don't know him. And when he shows himself and says, this is who I am, they don't like him. In fact, Brother Branham said they hate him, because he's not the Jesus of their imagination. He's not the sweet, kind Jesus that takes all the trials away. He's not the Jesus that makes them feel great every Sunday. He's just Jesus that loves them enough to tell them the truth, to get them ready to go to the rapture. And our own flesh don't like that kind of Jesus, because when we come up against it, say, okay, it's time for you to be like me, what do we do? Oh, we squall and squirk and like, oh, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. That's good. Because you know what you folks do? Even when you come up against that, you say, yeah, but I'm going to do it anyways. Because you have sold out. You sold out. God knows you sold out. Satan's trying to convince you haven't. The battle there in your mind about this is, have I really sold out? Because Satan said, you really haven't. Whatever. Aren't you bored with him by now? Listening to his junk? Just a little bit longer, folks. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful, Father, that in our heart, Lord Jesus, we want to be like you. And Father, you prove it to us over and over, because when the trials come, we humble ourselves and we just keep pressing the battle. We keep the attitude that you would have us to do. It's your attitude, the mind of Christ, Lord Jesus, pressing on, humbling ourselves, Lord Jesus. So tonight I pray that you'd find humble hearts to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. To receive the engrafted word, the word that will come and change us and keep us pressing this battle till one day we literally get a body change. Whether we go by the grave or we're still alive and remain, it doesn't matter, Lord. We're going to get a body change. We're going to live eternally, Lord. We believe that with all our hearts. So, Lord, I ask you tonight to come and confirm that. Confirm it in each heart, Lord. Help us to walk from here much stronger than we are now, Lord. Faith renewed. We ask this in your name. Amen. If you would turn in your Bible to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, we'll read one verse and then we'll be seated. Tell you what, brother and sister, God is so good. I hope you recognize him in our midst. Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You may be seated. I want to just keep going from where we left off on Sunday about fellowship. About how Adam, right there, he lost fellowship and he tried to restore fellowship by putting a barrier between him and God. put a barrier. He covered up his sin, and so he will try and restore that, but cover up my badness, my sin, whatever. And so he puts that fig leaf apron on there instead of running. God said, "I'm dirty, I'm filthy. I need a blood cut wash. I need you to clean me." He tried to do it himself, and that's what every human being does. And when God says, "I don't accept that," we tend to get a little bit upset and kind of take some of Cain's characteristics sometime. Yes, brother and sister, we all take Cain's characteristics sometime, all right? Because we're in this old nasty nature, and this old nature does not love God. It wants its own way. It doesn't want to die. It wants to defend itself. It wants to be something special. It wants to be the big shot. It wants to be in control. And all those things, you got to surrender, die to yourself, and say, "I want to be like Jesus," because Jesus had the same desires in his flesh, but he died to it all and to show us how to do it. And when people reviled him, he did not speak back. When people said bad things about him, he just so humbly took it. And so much that Pilate marveled. These people are saying all these horrible things against you, and you're just standing there quietly. Oh, to be like that. That's what I want to be like. My old flesh doesn't want to be that way, brother and sister. But when I run my mouth or I defend myself, it just grieves the Holy Spirit. He said, "I have taught you better than that." I was like, "Come on, Phil. Who do you think you are? Do you really want to be like Jesus? Then hush." Hardest thing to do, isn't it? Hardest thing for a human being to do is just die to yourself and don't defend yourself. Before we get started, I just want to touch on something. And I was going to do it Sunday, I forgot, and then Brother Neil said something to me right after church, and it reminded me, so I'm going to bring this up right now. I was talking about how my family was very legalistic, and we just very, you know, under the thumb and under the law and all that. And Brother Neil came back, and he said, "You know, my parents were 180 degrees different than yours. Completely different. They couldn't care less what I did." And that kind of parenting is just as detrimental as the other that I was talking about. But here's the point I want to make. Brother Neil came from this end of the spectrum. I came from that end of the spectrum. But guess where we're both at tonight? We're right here as born-again children of God. So you don't have an excuse, folks. Every person makes their own decision. You can't say, "Well, my dad did this and my mom did this." I'm sorry. You're going to make your own decisions. And there's something else for you parents who made mistakes. Anyone who's been a parent has made mistakes. Everyone except God has made mistakes raising kids. So that's okay. But here's the point. Don't sit there and let Satan beat you around. "Well, my kids are out in the world because of the way I raised them." Your kid will make their own choices. No one's going to stand there on judgment day and say, "God, if I would have had better parents, I could have served you." He said, "I gave you the parents that you needed." So don't let Satan kick you around just because you made mistakes raising kids, because every parent has. Your child will grow up and make their own choices. Because if I can come from extreme legalism and Brother Neil can come from extreme liberalism or whatever it was, and we can still both be born again and sitting in this church, that proves that there's no excuse. You make your choice. Glad you said that, Brother Neil. Remind me of that. Don't let Satan kick you around and say, "Well, you made so many mistakes." Of course you have. Tell him how many he's made. All right? Let's get on back to fellowship now. Fellowship is mandatory. We were talking about how you need to be, you know, walking with God in that fellowship. And you know, the quote I said about how once you have fellowship with God, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of everything else. And so many times we hear these things and we think, you know, Brother Branham has such a relationship with God. And Peter and Paul and all the great prophets, they're so close to God. And the pastor has such a walk with God. And this great holy person has such a walk with God. But what about me? Let me just say this real plainly. It's mandatory for every believer to have that relationship with God. And you say, "Yeah, I'm going to be like the prophet." You're not going to be like the prophet, but you're going to be like every other believer. All believers have to have that fellowship with God. I'm going to read something that back when I first heard Brother Branham preach this, it sounded like science fiction to me. Like, how in the world? What is he talking about? What is all that? Let me read it to you and see if you get the same impression. I hope you don't. Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. That's easy to understand, easy to accept that. Yeah, Jesus did, of course. He was Jesus. If we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world. The people wouldn't understand you. You'd walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit said you would do, what it forbid you not do, and you'd be a mystic person to them. And my old nature, my old self would say, well, yeah, that's true if I could do that, but you know I probably can't. So I just settle for something less. You don't get to. There ain't no settling for something less for the bride. Let's find out. That's the way it is to all believers. They're mystics. So now it puts us all in there, right? Remember what he said? He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God, which he was. He said, if we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian, we'd be a mystic to the world. He said, that's for all believers. That's the way it is, all believers. They're mystics. People don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand. When he spoke, and then they said, why are you talking riddles? We don't understand this. How can this be? See, there wasn't in the world he lived in. They couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. You will walk like a mystic. People will not understand you. They're going to look at you and scratch your head and wonder what you're talking about. Wonder who you are. Try to figure you out. That's what they did with Jesus. That's what they did with the prophets. That's what they do with all true believers. And I look at that and say, but I don't feel like a mystic. I don't feel mysterious to the world. How do I get here? Now let me tell you something else. How many believers have said, oh, I got to be a mystic. I'm going to go out and make myself mysterious. I'm going to go out and be a mystic and make people misunderstand me to prove I can fulfill this word. You go out there and make a fool of yourself. I remember one time, a long time ago, I was working down here in Dixon and working with a lady. She was a Christian. She went to some church here in Dixon, not this one, of course. And I threw a scripture at her. I read the scripture. What do you think of that? What do you think that means? Because I was going to show her how much I knew. I was going to impress her, like, because you're just a denominational Christian, and I'm a message believer. She said, I don't know. It just took the wind out of my sails because she didn't want to get an argument. She wanted to try and prove what she knew. She said, I don't know. She was more Christ-like than I was right there, I tell you what. It ain't about us going out there and trying to confuse people so they don't understand us. It's not us throwing our quotes around. It's not us throwing our knowledge around like, well, these people don't know nothing. That's not what this is talking about, folks. You just go ahead and keep walking in Christ and you'll be as mysterious as you need to be. Why do you believe that stuff? Why do you have to believe that a prophet? Why do you have to dress away? Why do you have to do this? Why is all that? See, that's not the kind of mystic we want to be. Because then you're bearing the reproach. I don't want to bear a reproach. My own nature doesn't. But that's what it's talking about, brothers and sisters. Look at the reproach Jesus bore. To be like Jesus on earth alone. I just don't want to bear his reproach. When a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. There. Now you're getting into bride material. You see? You're getting into rapturing condition now. We all want to go into rapture? We need to walk in substance faith. We need to walk in a world to ourselves. We need to walk in a world isolated from the world. Does that mean we go out and live in a hole someplace or get in a cave? No, that means when you're walking through the world, when you're rubbing shoulders with the world, you are isolated from all the influences. When they say something evil about you, you just return good. When they dislike you, you love them. When they hurt your feelings, you say something nice about them. When they're evil towards you, you pray for them. This is the most basic common Christianity there is. This is the ABCs.
But if you don't get this foundation in, you might as well forget all your quotes and all the rest of your holiness, because they don't mean a thing if you don't get this right. This is the simplicity. When the Holy Spirit is in you and it takes control, that Holy Spirit inside takes control of this old nature. It takes control of this old flesh and brings in subjection to the Word, and you become isolated. You start walking in substance faith. When God speaks to you, you do it. If He doesn't speak, you don't do it. And you just want to walk there, all of you, just you and God together. It ain't you and God and your wife, you and God and your husband, you and God and your pastor, you and God and your kids. It's you and God. And if the rest of the world rejects you, and if your family rejects you, and if everyone else says you're just a freak, you're just a crank, you're just weird, you recognize I'm fulfilling the Word. I become a mystic to them. They don't understand what I'm talking about. And if you get puffed up about this and think you're something because of it, you ain't doing it. It ain't you anymore. This don't puff you up. This humbles you down. You recognize that is Christ literally living in me. Boy, your own nature don't like that. No, it doesn't. You say, it don't bother mine. Then you have no clue even what I'm talking about. If the preaching of the gospel doesn't tear your own nature up, you ain't listening to hear, you ain't hearing the voice of God. Your inner man should be loving it and feeding on it and said, that's exactly what I'm thirsting for. That's what I long for. That's what I hunger for. That's what I'm seeing. And your own nature, that is saying, man, you don't want Phil, just shut up and go home. Goodness sakes, it's late. I'm tired. He always preaching the same old stuff anyways. Can't he preach something different? Let's get this right. It ain't Phil's idea anyways. He said, you're getting into rapturing condition now. We want to go in a rapture, right? We want to go in a rapture. Brother and sister, we're not going to go there if we can't even get along among this little group here. How are you going to get along with the rest of the people? You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us. Not just the pastor, deacons, trustees, that means for the laity, every individual walks in a world with God alone. That's mandatory. You want to go into rapture? This is where you have to be first, because he says that's getting into rapturing condition. You must have this relationship with God. You must walk in fellowship with God. And if you're walking in fellowship with God and keep grieving Him away, guess what the problem is? You keep grieving Him away. But I tell you what's going to happen, brother and sister. You're going to get to a point, if you ain't there now, that when you grieve Him away, you say, I can't stand this. I can't stand to be having Him grieved away. I got to get Him back. And you repent and He comes back. And the next time that thing rises up, you say, I can either defend myself and grieve Him away, or I can let myself die and stay in fellowship. And you will get to the point where you will never grieve Him away over that thing again. Don't care how someone hurts your feelings. He said, I would rather die to that old thing and keep that Holy Spirit here with me. And when I talk about that, I'm not talking about feeling an anointing. I used to think that's what that meant. You walk around feeling that anointing all the time. Try that sometime. See how long it lasts. No, it's the reality of Him being in. Let me just put it this way. If you have to experience it, what I'm talking about. And if you've experienced it, know what it's like to have Him with you, had that joy, that peace, when things are going crazy around you, there's still something in there. Oh, and He will speak to you, and He will act to you, and He will love to you, and you recognize that's not me, that's the reality of Jesus Christ in me. You're walking in a world to yourself. It's not a feeling. It's not, oh, I feel good today, Christ must be with me. That has nothing to do with it. It's something much greater than that, much deeper, much stronger. Boy, I hope you know what I'm talking about. Please, God.
You're baptized into the kingdom. There's nobody in there but you and God. He gives the orders and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Glory, hallelujah. That's what it is for everybody. Every bride member is going to have that. If you don't have it now, don't worry, it's coming. Don't go out there and try to produce it, for goodness sakes. Oh, Brother Phil, I got to be in the world. I'll just guide it myself. So I'm just going to just constantly be concentrated in God and go about my job. If you just cut, you're going to get fired. That ain't what it is. Don't go try to be a monk. Don't go try to put on religion. Don't go try to put on something you're not. Just be who you are. And when that old nature rises, just die to that and keep going. Find how much closer you get to Christ. Boy, that hurts my own nature. It's supposed to. Brother Phil, make me happy. Which part do you want to be happy? Your new nature or your old nature? Can't make them both happy tonight. Sorry. It's not on the table. That used to scare me. That used to seem unreachable. Oh my goodness. You know my thought, if you'd have asked me 20 years ago, I said, boy, we're going to be so holy. We're going to have so much power. I'm going to shoot lightning bolts and rainbows out of my fingertips by the time I get to this point. Boy, that's going to be wonderful. We're going to just go walk around. We're going to be speaking things in existence. And we're going to have the power of God. And we're going to be doing all this stuff. We're there. We're here. I sure don't know, brother. I sure don't feel it. You don't. You really? You're listening to that, old boy? But I just still make somebody say, I just don't know if I'm really. Okay. We'll keep coming to church and we'll keep preaching the same thing till you decide, yes, I am. And then we'll go into rapture. That's kind of something to look forward to, isn't it? We all want to go into rapture? Then let's start acting like it. Confess it. What the word says about you is you. Why are you going to say, well, someday I'll get there? Start confessing it now. That's like saying, well, I got prayed for, and as soon as I see I'm healed, I'll start confessing I'm healed. Die of your illness then, folks. Confess that you are this place. You say, I don't see it. That's the point. You don't see it. You're not walking by sight. You're walking by faith. Abraham went around confessing, I'm going to have a son. Where I am going to have a son. Well, I don't see Sarah. I don't see this. I don't care what I see. God told me. God's telling you tonight, this is for you. And it's mandatory. It's not just for, oh, as long as you have it, Brother Phil, as long as Brother Jimmy has it, as long as Brother Paul, as long as Sister Susie. No. It's for you. Every one of you. Who want to go into rapture. And you know how you get it? You just simply keep going. When the word brings you, when the word comes to you and he speaks to you, you accept that and you keep walking. It is really that simple. My, I'm so glad it's that simple. He gives the orders and you pack them out. My. He said, I don't know God ever gave me any orders. Well, what are you looking for? A telegram? He's given every one of you orders. He's given you the word. He says, hey, go to church. You go to church. Well, that's pretty simple. Exactly. That's the point. He says, be nice to your wife. God, have you seen? Be nice to her. Treat her gently. She's your queen, right, Brother Paul? Start being nicer. I pick him, Brother Paul, because I can pick him, Brother Paul. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. You want perfect faith? You need perfect faith. You need rapture faith. That's what you do. You get to a point where it's just you and God and nobody else is in there. Nobody else is going to interfere with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your boss ain't going to interfere with it. Your family ain't going to interfere with it. Your pastor ain't going to interfere with it. Your neighbor ain't going to interfere with it. Someone shoot at you going down the road ain't going to interfere with it. Brother and sister, you're going to you protect that because that is means more than the rest of it put together. That's love. And you just walk and people say, boy, can't even, you know, nothing bothers you. You're just like, what's wrong with you? You're just weird. Yep. Yeah, you are. And there's a lot of people are going to look at that and say, my, I wish I had that. And a lot of religious people are going to look at you and say, yeah, but you ain't all that. I know where you go to church. Well, you say, well, how do you know? How do you know? Brother Todd asked me a question after church. Something like this. He said, you know, those people, because I spoke a lot on Cain worship, right? Cain offering. Those people are very sincere. They're very sincere. They're anointed. They're doing the best they can. And yet they're deceived. How do you know that we aren't those people? How do you know that you're not very sincere and loving God and doing all you the best you can and God's saying, yeah, but you're deceived? You're offering a Cain sacrifice. Because those people out there, who I say out there, who are doing it, they're just as sincere as you are. They believe just as hard as you believe. So you say, well, Brother Phil, then how do you know we're not those people? Well, I got something to tell you. First of all, it's very simple to know. You don't have to worry about a bit about it. All you can do is go to the Word. Let's do this. Let's first of all look at, Brother Branham said, you know anyone by their characteristics. Let's look at Cain's characteristics and see if you line up with Cain's characteristics. All right? Cain brought the best he could. He worked very hard on his holiness. He worked very hard on serving God. He did the best he could in his own ability. Now, look at your own religious life. Is it your ability that you're offering to God? I'll tell you what, I did that for years, not knowing it. Not knowing it, I thought I was believing and I was offering him my own ability for years and years and years. He kept turning me down. I get frustrated. I'm trying so hard to be a Christian. I can't get born again. I'm trying so hard to live right. I keep making mistakes. I keep doing this. I think I'm born again. Then I know I'm not. Then I think I'm born again. Then I know I'm not. What was it? I was trying in my own ability. How do you know it was your own ability? Because it didn't work. God wasn't accepting it. So if you've been doing the same thing over and over for the last however many years and you don't seem to be getting anywhere with God, you're probably doing it in your own ability. So stop. Another characteristic of Cain. When the voice of God spoke to him and said, I ain't accepting what you're giving me, what did he do? He got mad. He rejected the voice of God. He rejected the correction, the chastening. It showed he was a bastard born. He was serpent seed because the seed of God doesn't reject the chastening. They don't despise the chastening. But if you give in to your own nature and that the word comes and you buck up against it, you're showing Cain characteristic. Don't think that, oh, Brother Phil said I was Cain. No, I'm telling you that we all have those characteristics because it's the old nature. I can tell you this, several years ago, when God started dealing with me about this, and he basically said to me, he said, all your last how many years don't matter, don't count. I rejected the whole thing. Boy, I was ready to rear up against that. Are you kidding? I've been doing all this all these years, and you say it doesn't matter, you're not accepted a bit of it? My own nature wanted to whine and cry and like, just, well, forget it then, walk out. But there is something stronger. You know what something else said? Look how much he loves you. He didn't throw you out, he didn't kick you out. He's given you an opportunity. Are you willing to accept the chastening? My, I'm so glad that that was there. And then you know what the battle was? Keep walking in faith, because my old nature kept rearing up, trying to get me to go back. Yeah, but you better do this. You still need to try this. You still need to be doing this. I said, nope, I'm not going to raise a finger. When he speaks to me, I'll pack out his orders. When my old nature speaks to me, it can just whine and cry all at once. Do you accept the chastening of the Lord? When the word comes and whips you a little bit, do you accept it? Well, you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't. So I guess you're not Cain after all, huh? You don't have to wonder if you're Cain or not, folks. Just look at your characteristics. And then what did he do? He left the presence of God. He left the voice of God. He went. Well, he got mad. Actually, this was before. But anyways, he killed his brother. When God rejected his sacrifice, he killed his brother. And when God rejects so many believer sacrifices, so many messages of believer sacrifice, what do? Well, I'll go to a different church. And when they get there, what do? They slay their brothers. They slay the pastor where they left. How? By running them down, ruining their influence. Just as much murdered as Cain killed Abel. Let me tell you something, brothers. You don't have to go to this church. If you think you have to go to this church to be in the bride, you have an Antichrist spirit. This church is not for everybody. It's for the people God puts here. Now, for you personally, if God put you here, yes, you need to go to this church. But everyone doesn't have to. There's a lot more people in the bride than just here. If God leads you to another church, go. But when you go to another church and you turn around and you start slaughtering us, just recognize what spirit that is. You say, well, no, Brother Phil, those are not my characteristics. I don't have the characteristics of Cain. Okay, let's look at the believer's characteristics. Right? How do I know if my sincerity, how do I know if my actions, whatever, how do I know I'm not being deceived? How do I know that I'm not offering Cain's offering? Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. So, brother and sister, if you know the voice of Jesus Christ, where is your fear? All you had to do is wait to hear the voice of God. You say, well, yeah, but Satan comes awful close. Brother and sister, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Recognize the characteristics of the voice of God and the characteristics of the voice of the devil. Surely you can recognize that by now. Who's the one who's encouraging you and who's the one who's tearing you down? All that he loves, he chastens. Does he chasten you? Do you accept it? That's a love affair, brother and sister. That's a parent loving his children. When he chastens the unbelievers and the make-believers, they don't love it. They don't accept it. Now, who are you? Are you being deceived? Are you offering Cain's sacrifice? Or are you walking closer? Your fellowship with Jesus is with Jesus Christ. Be honest with yourself. If you see that you got a lacking there, then put that in God's hand, get a change. And yet if you see that, yes, I do accept the chastening. Yes, I do love him. Yes, I do believe it. Yes, I do hear the voice of God. Then goodness sake, be honest with yourself and say, you must be talking about me. Start confessing that instead of, we're so afraid sometimes to confess it, because if I confess today, I know I'm a child of God, and tomorrow I go and make a mistake, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not anymore, because I was so confident yesterday, and now today I make a mistake. So you know what? From now on, I'm not going to make that confession just in case I make another mistake. That's not a believer. Brother and sister, you look at what the Word says about you, and you confess that. Don't matter what mistakes you made, you confess that. And you watch your body come subjection to your confession. God will bring your body into subjection to His Word, and you confess His Word. This is who I am. I'm a born-again child of God. He is getting me rapture ready. He is making me a mystic. He is going to get me into a relationship with just Him and me. We are walking together. If you will just start confessing these things that it says about you instead of living in fear, the only reason that you won't do it is because of fear. What if at the end I find out I wasn't? Either way, you go to hell. What does it matter? Just confess it. The fearful, the unbelieving, he looks at that as wickedness. It's wicked. It's evil. Because you're saying, I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not, God. You say, well, I'm just trying to not be a hypocrite. All right. Hypocrite? That's the most hypocritical thing there is. I'm coming to church and I'm trying to be a believer, but I'm just afraid to go too far with this confession thing. You can't. Now, let me put it this way. You can go on past the Word, and we had someone come back by here a long time ago preaching that we were already in the millennium. That ain't what I'm talking about. Why has God spoke to you? When God tells you, you're my child of God, why don't you start acting like, by confessing it? Well, I'm going to act like I'm going to go up and quit making mistakes. No, you're going to go out and start confessing who you are, who the Word says you are. Brother Phil, if you knew all the how weak I am, all the mistakes I made... All right, take your excuse and sit there in your mully grubs for a while until you decide to stand up and be a soldier and start fighting. It's just fear that keeps you from saying it. If you confess it, God will bring it to pass if you don't already have it. I'm convinced a lot of us, we're already doing that. We just don't recognize it because we're looking for some great big something that we're going to feel so holy, and that whole time we're actually fulfilling the Word. That's what I believe. Another characteristic. You know what we do? We only believe. We only believe. God gives us the Word. We believe it. Say, that's going to happen. Brother Phil, you said we're going to walk in this relationship with God. I believe it. And you go about your business just like you did yesterday. And the day before. And tomorrow you're going to go about your business like you did today. You're just going to be believing it. And in a week or a month or 6 months or a year or 10 years down the road, you're going to look around and say, he did it. Here I am. It's happening. But it's so hard for us to trust God's going to do it, isn't it? I want to show something else. Let's look at some of God's characteristics in this. Question. Do you think God takes pleasure in deceiving people? Do you think God is a gotcha kind of God? That he's going to just let you wander around in your deception, and then on judgment day you come up and say, ha, gotcha. You thought you were a believer and you were deceived. Huh? Depart from me, you loser. Is that really the characteristics you think God has? Who would want to serve a God like that? That's not God. He's not going to sit up there and just keep his mouth shut. Look at Brother Phil. He thinks he's right. Boy, he's going to be surprised. That ain't God. You might have parents with some of those characteristics. When you do something wrong, they kind of take pleasure. Told you so. Told you should have done that. Huh? That ain't God. My. Sometimes I think, we think God has too many of our human parents' characteristics. God's in a bad mood today. Better leave him alone. God don't have time for me today. Better leave him alone. God's feeling a little bit mean today. He's going to say something cutting just to hurt you. Well, he's going to hurt you, but there's a purpose behind it. It ain't to cut you to make you feel bad. It's to get rid of your own nature. It's a chastening. God's going to humiliate you in front of everybody else. Yes, he is. When you have a bad attitude. Let me tell you this. I have never seen God humiliate someone if they didn't have a bad attitude. Now, he might have done it. I haven't seen it. Because when you have a humble attitude and accepting the word, he has no reason to humiliate you because you have no pride there to humiliate. Isn't that something? But when you have pride, he has to humiliate it to get rid of it. Get rid of the pride, folks. Save yourself the embarrassment. God doesn't take pleasure in people being lost. Look what God did. Cain was serpent seed. He killed his brother. God went to him and said, Cain, if you will worship like your brother, I'll accept you. God knew the end from the beginning. He knew he wasn't going to, but he said, if you will, I will accept you. Think about it. God cared enough for that person who was serpent seed to go down and offer him a chance. He said, you're wrong. Why don't you come this way? Do it the way I ask you. You're going to be okay. Cain couldn't do it. How much more for his own children? How much more for you and I? He's not going to let you sit there in some kind of deception and say, well, you should have known better. He's going to come and he's going to say, change it. You got it wrong here. You're wrong here. You're doing this wrong. You're believing this wrong. Because he loves you. There's nothing to worry about, folks. Being deceived is the least of your worries. It's the least of your worries. Because anyone who's deceived, you know how you get deceived? Because you did not receive a love for the truth. And God turned you over to a reprobate mind and to believe a lie and be damned. The people who are deceived chose that. There's not going to be an excuse. Judgment Day, there will be no excuses. No one's going to sit and say, God, you were not fair to me. Oh, yes, he was. He said, what about all the people out there who never even heard about the message and they're going on, they're doing the best? Let me tell you what. This old Bible here has been around longer than any of those people out there, right? And they can read this Bible just like you, and they can look what the Bible says, and they make their decision. They don't have to know about the message. They can read the Bible and say, I don't want to believe that part of it. They will be judged by their approach to the Bible. You don't have to hear the message to reject what the Bible says. The Bible says a woman shouldn't cut her hair. They look at that and say, well, that was for another age. Their choice. Why? Because they don't want that. And so they'll find a church where they don't have to have it, and the pastor says, you're okay. And on Judgment Day,
that word is going to be right there in front of them, and it's going to play out. They shouldn't cut the hair. And the guy's going, well, why didn't you believe that? Well, I thought it was okay.
Yeah. Because when you give yourself over to that lie long enough, you start believing it's okay. One of the saddest, pathetic things I saw, I was in college, and it was a religion class, and that scripture came up. Had this professor, very smart old man. He knew more about the Bible than all of us put together. And one of the women in class, she said, what is that? See, I mean, it says you're supposed to cut your hair, but everyone cuts their hair. What about that? And he just kind of didn't say too much. And she said, is it like, because that was from that day, you know, that's a different time, and that was during Paul's era, but now it's okay? And everyone kind of in class went, yeah, like it. And the guy, he just kind of laughed. He didn't have the guts to say yes or no. He just let it go. So all the women, okay, yeah, that was for a different day. There's no excuse, folks. If you're deceived, it's because you refused to walk in the light that you had. Because if you will walk in that light, God will keep giving you more light. And if you walk in that light, God will keep giving you more light. He will bring you all the way to the full light if you will just keep going. Nothing to fear. Not a thing. Judgment Day, people are standing there being judged. They might say, God, if I would have had that opportunity, but you know what he's going to do? He's going to expose the intents of your heart, the thoughts of your heart. And it's going to show that no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't, because you didn't accept what you did have. There's not going to be an excuse, folks. Those who really want to go to heaven are going to be there. That is good. And those who don't really care won't. They won't. Because those who really want to go are willing to lay down their life. They're willing to lay down their pride. They're willing to lay down their idols. Will lay down their human love. Lay down their greed. Lay down everything there is to have that one great prize, the humble Lord Jesus. And when we sing, when those people sing to be like Jesus, they start understanding what it is that they're singing. When he said, take up your cross and follow me, they're starting to understand what that means. When they say, he said, when someone smites you on the left cheek, turn your right. They understand what that means. Because when you start doing these little things, these simple, basic things, your relationship with Jesus Christ will grow exponentially. Because you have quit grieving him away. And you're going to get to a point where you will do anything to protect that relationship. And you say, I and my Father are one. Brother Branham said something like this. He said, Jesus said that, picked up the stones to stone him. He said, that's going to happen to the bride too. That's not how he said it, but basically I'm paraphrasing. You start confessing, I and my Father are one, they're going to stone you. They're going to throw quotes at you. They're going to throw your history at you. They're going to throw your own nature. They're going to throw your mistakes at you. How can you sit there and say you and God are one and you make all the mistakes you make? Well, I'm not going to read it. I have the quote here. I'm going to save it for maybe next time or so. But Brother Branham said, you know what justified means? Justified doesn't mean you're forgiven. It means you never did it in the first place. Oh, we've heard that preached for so many years. I believe we need to keep preaching it until it sinks into us so we really understand. Not in our minds, but when we start understanding by seeing it manifesting through us. A freedom that God literally does not see, does not know the mistakes you made because it's taken completely away. You never did it. It's not just covered, it's taken away. We believe that? Then how can we bring up someone's mistakes? Brother Paul, I remember 2 weeks ago when you sassed me. God doesn't remember it. Guess who's bringing it up? Guess what spirit it is that's bringing it up? It ain't the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit don't remember it. Do we really believe that? My. Let it go, folks. Gotta let it go. This old flesh is not worth defending. It just ain't. It hurts. Goodness sakes, it hurts. But it ain't worth defending. How do you know, Brother Phil? I'm speaking from experience. And a lot of you, I hope all of you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is to die to the old flesh, and you know the peace you have when you do. When you die to yourself and you let it go and you sit there and you feel miserable, and after a while you feel that just a gentle, calming Holy Spirit come and says, I'm proud of you. I'm happy with you. Have you had that? I sure hope so. I hope so. If you haven't, get there. Get there sometime and find out how addictive that is. World got all these addictions. Find out how addictive that is. When God speaks and says, I'm happy with you. I'm proud of you. Boy, that'll give you some encouragement. We live so many times in our escape. We live in our fantasies. We live in our addictions. Brother David said something a minute ago that it struck me very, very true. He said, if we have to live in a fantasy, because we don't like ourselves very well, we don't like who we are, so we have to live in an alternative world. We have to live on drugs. We have to live on, you know, just a mind game we play. We live in a daydream, or we're always living in the TV show, or we're always living in this book or whatever, because we don't really like living with ourselves. If it's your own nature you're talking about, I don't blame you. I don't like living with my own nature either. But brother and sister, we need to recognize who the real you is and live there. And it's not a fantasy. Live there and let God take control and run your life. And I promise you, you will have joy and peace that nothing on this earth can give you. It's worth it. We sing that song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All these trials will seem so small when we see God. Brother and sister, if that's not true, then we are the most miserable creatures on earth, because we're going through the mess we're going through, and then we're going to die and still be miserable. But it is true. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. And all he ever wanted from you was your fellowship. Isn't that amazing? That's all he ever wanted. Just your fellowship. I was lonely without you. Let's quit. Let's stand. He
says, I was lonely without you. I couldn't wait for you to be born. I couldn't wait for you to reach the age of accountability so I could start dealing with your heart. I couldn't hardly wait to see you grow up. And then, of course, you rejected me, and you rejected me. I kept wooing you. I kept talking, and you rejected me. And then you tried. You find out you were a sinner, so you come and you offered your sacrifices, and you offered this, and you offered this offering, and offered that. And I kept dealing with you and kept speaking. And I kept chasing you, and all I wanted was fellowship, and you kept offering me everything else. And then you got to a point where you would not die to yourself, and you kept having this attitude and that attitude, and I just kept saying, but I love you. All I want is fellowship with you. Quit offering me all this other stuff. And then you have your excuse. Well, yeah, but this is going on, and that's going bad, and this, and I just can't have fellowship because I have to take care of this, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And God just saying, but I love you. You're mine. I'm not going to let you go. I'll drag you behind wild horses, but I'm not going to let you go. If that's what it takes to die, to kill off that old nature until you're ready to say, okay, everything else out of the way. Everything else out of the way. Just me and God. People look at you and say, after all you've gone through and you still serve God? And you say, he means more now to me than he ever has before. More now than ever before. And they say, I don't understand that. Exactly. Because you're a mystic. You walk in a world with just you and God. Because all he wanted was fellowship with you. That's all he wanted. Lord Jesus, we're grateful you could come tonight and speak to us, Lord, and encourage us, Father. Tell us what you think about us. Lord, I just ask that you would let this word have the effect that you send it for. Help us, Lord Jesus, when we go through the battles, as we go on, whatever is coming up, Lord Jesus, that we always confess what you say about us, Lord. Not what the devil says, not what our friends or family or anyone else says, but what you say about us. That's what we long for, is to walk in that peace, to walk in that relationship with you. I ask that you go with us tonight as we leave. Keep us the rest of this week, Lord, and help each one of us to come to church Sunday morning with the right mental attitude and walking in faith. Lord Jesus, ready to humble ourselves to hear your word again. Oh, Lord. Deal with each one, Lord. Don't let anyone go here with the attitude. Don't let anyone go here just wondering or just mind being tossed to and fro. But Lord, let each one be more anchored. Anchor us, Lord Jesus, in your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand, to receive it. There is no excuse. We have none. We are not justified, Lord, to have a bad attitude. We are not justified to walk out of here with anything except just love for you. Lord Jesus, you love us so much. Lord, that love, that very same love is in us when we're born again. We just need to get out of the way, so let it pulsate out through us, Lord. Let that be tonight. Let it be. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing that little chorus, to be like Jesus, as we go. I'll see you Sunday morning, Lord willing, and I believe he is.